Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Everybody excited to be here?
Yes.
Amen. Hey, isn't it great to be able to pray for people? Amen. That's the least we can do, right? Is pray for somebody. Amen. Thank you, Matthew, for doing that for us. Hey, as he mentioned, it is time for the message. The title of it today is this. It could have something to do with the season that we're going through right now. Y'all remember what Wednesday was? Ash Wednesday, which was what? The first day of the Lent season. So your title today is this: Overcoming Temptation, a Lenten Salvation. As we celebrate our first Sunday in our Lenten season for this year, 2025, are y'all excited that we got a guide that falls fresh upon each one of us every day? Amen. Are you excited that we got a God that saves us every day? How many of y'all know, even me, even the pastors, even we have to have some saving each and every day. Amen. Because we're still human, aren't we? But thank God we got a time that we can go through and reflect on things and just kind of kick back and enjoy the season and just ask for anything that we have, that we would be honorable, humble, and lovingly thinking about our God and what He did for us during this season. Amen. Because that's truly what Lent is all about, isn't it? It's about the remembrance of what God did for us all those years ago. Amen. So your title again is this: Overcoming Temptation, a Lenten Salvation. The main scripture we're going to use today is from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 1 through 13. 4, 1 through 13. NIV version says it this way. She has it on the screen for everybody. It says this, starting with verse 1. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days, how many days?
40.
That's a long time, man. Where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. How many of y'all still get tempted for 40 days straight by the devil? Amen. We all do, don't we? He ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall what? Not live on bread alone. Amen. The devil led him up to a high place, and he showed him, and in this, all the kingdoms of the world. Then he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone that I want. If you worship me, it will be yours. Jesus answered to him was what? It is written again. Amen. Worship the Lord with all, Lord your God, and serve him only. The devil then led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on one of the highest points of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your feet against a stone. And Jesus again answered this temptation with this. It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. He left him until an opportune time. Amen. Ain't y'all glad that we still got a God today that lets us go through the same temptations that Jesus went through? Amen. Now, I'm glad that we can have enough strong will about ourselves to follow through just like Jesus did on those temptations and not falling into them. Amen. We still struggle, don't we? But we got a God that loves us one way or the other, don't we? Amen. Now, that is your main scripture. But the first scripture we're going to get in today comes from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 8 through 13. Romans 10, 8 through 13, NIV version says this. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all of us who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all you do, Jesus. Lord, as always, I ask you right now, Lord, just get me out of the way today, Lord. Lord, may it be your word spoken and not mine today, Lord. Lord, as always, may you open our heart, mind, and our soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Lord. Lord, may you be with us to the end of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. Ooh, think about that. The word is near you. Ooh, that's a good thing to have, ain't it? How many of y'all remember when the word wasn't near you? When you wasn't saved? You didn't have no fun, did you? You didn't really enjoy that time of your life, did you? Until you actually truly found the word being near you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we begin this Lenten season, we enter into a time of reflection. We enter a time of repentance and a time of renewal. Lent calls us to examine our faith and to draw nearer to God through prayer, through fasting, and through acts of love that we do. Today our scripture is from Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 13. It reminds us of the simplicity and the power of salvation itself. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your hearts. Paul in this passage speaks of faith, don't he? He speaks of confession and the universal reach of God's salvation to everybody. It's also a timely message for us today as we embark on our Lenten journey this year. Because salvation truly is close to each one of us. Paul tells us that the message of salvation is not far away. It is near us, in our mouths, and in our hearts. Amen. This means for us that we do not have to climb up to heaven or descend into the depths to find Christ, because he is already here with each one of us. He is among us. Amen. Many times we think that being saved requires complicated rituals, deep theological understanding, and extraordinary acts in ourselves. But guess what, guys? Paul today reminds each one of us that our salvation is simple. Simple, guys. It is a matter of faith and a matter of confession. Amen. Lent itself is a time to remind ourselves that Christ is near to us, waiting for us to open our hearts for him. No matter how far we feel we are from God, guess what? His word is close. His word is close. And it's inviting each one of us to return if we've stepped away. Amen. We also see that the word truly is confessing and believing leads to salvation. Paul represents two essential elements of salvation here. Confession with our mouth, as he said, Jesus is Lord. And belief in the heart, and believing that God raised him from the dead. Amen. That's two quick things, ain't it? Those two go hand in hand, though, don't they? Confession without our faith is just empty words, isn't it? Belief without confession is also incomplete. But together, between faith and confession, they bring salvation to each one of us. Lent is already an opportunity for us to renew our confession. Do we boldly declare Jesus as our Lord? Not just with our lips, amen, but also with our lives that we live. Do we truly believe that His resurrection has power over our fears, that has power over our doubts, that has power over our sins? This season calls each one of us to return to the basics of their self, to professing our faith and living it out, and trusting in the saving work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because God's salvation is truly for everybody, isn't it? It's for all. Paul makes a powerful statement in 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Who? Who that calls on the Lord?
Everyone.
Everybody. Not maybe somebody, right? Maybe that person. Maybe no. No matter what we've done, no matter how bad we've been, everybody, all of us who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. There's no distinction, is there? In the Bible it says between Jew and what? Gentile. There is no difference, is there? There's no distinction. Again, Jew or Gentile. Rich or poor. Amen. Sinner or saint. God's mercy itself is available for all of us that turn to Him. Amen. And that truly is the heart of our Lent. An invitation for all to come back to God. No one is too lost. Amen. How many of y'all felt too lost? Amen. Nobody's too broken. We've all been there, right? Nobody's too unworthy. I know we've all felt that way. The cross itself of Christ stands as a testimony for each one of us that grace truly is freely. What? Freely given. Amen. And it's a call to draw near. As we journey through Lent, let us remember that our Christ is near. We do not have to search far for Him, do we? He's near to us. Faith and confession bring us salvation. We got to renew our commitment to our Christ. And again, salvation truly is once and for all. God welcomes everybody. No matter how bad you might feel right now, no matter what you did last night, amen? No matter what you did on the way to church this morning, no matter what you did watching at home, amen? God, the salvation is for everybody. He welcomes us all that will call on His name, amen? This Lent, may we open our hearts. May we return to the Lord. May we walk in the fullness of His grace. Amen? Because we truly can overcome the temptation like He did in the wilderness. As we begin this season of Lent again, we reflect on Jesus of 40 days in the wilderness where He faced temptation from the devil. That passage again is Luke 4, 1-13. It teaches each one of us about the reality of the temptation and the power of God's Word in overcoming it. Just as Jesus triumphed over Satan, guess what? We too can have a victory when we rely on God's truth and not our own. Amen? This passage also draws connections to biblical themes of testing, of obedience, and of divine sonship, pointing us to the Christ as a second Adam in the true Israel. Amen. Because we have that setting for the temptation. Luke 1-2 says, or Jesus, fully of the Holy Spirit, was led into the wilderness. This was not by accident. Amen. He didn't get tricked to go there. Amen. The devil leading him in there was not by accident, guys. But it was truly by a divine appointment. The wilderness represents the trials and the testing and a place of refining. Just as Israel wandered for 40 years and Adam was tested in the garden, Jesus, the second Adam and the true Israel, underwent testing. Unlike though Israel and Adam who failed him, who failed that test, who failed their temptations, Jesus himself remained obedient, didn't he? This demonstrates for each one of us that he is truly the faithful Son of God who succeeds where others fall short. Temptation often comes when we are physically weak, emotionally vulnerable, or spiritually challenged by God's Spirit. But God's Spirit sustains each one of us. We truly see in the Scripture three temptations of Jesus. The first one is a temptation of his physical need in Luke chapter or verse 3 and 4. The devil himself tempted Jesus to turn stones into bread, appealing for his physical hunger. However, Jesus responded to him, right? Man shall not live by bread alone. This verse originally referred to Israel's dependence on God for manna in the wilderness. But Jesus, being the true Israel, trusted in God's provision rather than using his divine power for self-gratification. This teaches each one of us that our ultimate sustenance comes from God's Word, not just material provisions. Amen. Jesus later feeds the multitudes, but refuses to serve himself here, highlighting his true mission to depend fully on the Father God. Amen. The second thing we see is the temptation of power and glory in verse 5 and 8. Satan offered Jesus authority over the kingdom, didn't he? Not just one kingdom, right? But all the kingdoms that he could see. All the world, if he would just worship him instead of God. And Jesus himself, again, firmly rejected, didn't he? He rejected it, declaring this: "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." That temptation parallels Israel's temptation to idolatry in the wilderness. Where Israel failed, Jesus remained steadfast, didn't he? The offer of power without the cross was a temptation to bypass suffering. But Jesus knew that true kingship comes through the obedience and through suffering. This reminds each one of us that the world tempts us with power. The world tempts us with status. The world tempts us with shortcuts to success. But true fulfillment only comes from worshiping God alone. Amen. And the third thing we seen was the temptation to test God. Satan twisted Scripture, didn't he? Challenging Jesus to throw himself from the pinnacle of the temple. Quoting Psalm 91:11-12. However, Jesus countered with the Scripture: "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." That refers to us to Israel's testing of God at Massah, where they doubted his presence being. Jesus refused to manipulate God's promises for selfish gain. He showed true faith, didn't he? And trusted in God's sovereignty. This should teach each one of us today to trust in God's plan rather than demanding signs and proofs. Faith is not about forcing God's hand, is it? But it is about resisting or resting in His will. Let me restate that. Faith is not about forcing God's hand, but it is about resting in His will. And we also see the victory of Jesus. Verse 13. After resisting every temptation that Satan could throw at Him, Jesus our Lord stood victorious, and the devil departed, didn't He? This shows us that temptation is not permanent. Amen? And resisting it through God's Word leads to triumph itself. Jesus' victory foreshadows His ultimate triumph over Satan at the cross and His resurrection. Hebrews 4:15 reminds us that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are. Amen? Yet without sin. He did not sin, did He? His victory gives us the confidence that we should have, that through Him, through Jesus, we too can overcome any temptation that we might be going through. We truly need to be Spirit-filled, don't we? Just as Jesus was led by the Spirit, we must walk in that Spirit in our daily lives. And we must know the Word. Jesus countered temptation of the devil with Scripture, didn't He? We must immerse ourselves in God's truth. We must trust in God's provisions. We must resist the urge to take shortcuts if they're being presented to us. And instead of rely on God's timing and not ours. And we have to worship God alone. Amen. The world offers us many, many distractions, don't it? But our devotion must remain with our God and God only. Amen. Jesus' victory in the wilderness sets an example for each one of us to overcome temptation. As we journey through Lent, let us seek God, trust in His Word, and stand firm in each one of our faiths. Through Him, we too can overcome every trial and temptation. Because temptation is truly a universal experience. Nobody, y'all hear me? That includes me, guys. Nobody is exempt from temptation. Not even Jesus was, right? We see Jesus being tempted again by Satan in the wilderness. Passage teaches us how to overcome that temptation by relying on the Word of God, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and a firm commitment to God's will in our lives. Because we truly have a reality of temptation. I'll get to that. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, wasn't He? Jesus was truly full of the Holy Spirit. Was led into the wilderness, where He fasted for 40 days. And He was tempted by the devil. Temptation itself, guys, often comes during moments of weakness or moments of isolation that we have. Being tempted is not a sin. Being tempted itself is not a sin. The sin is giving in to that temptation. But we also see Jesus overcame the strategy of the enemy. Satan used three primary temptations for Jesus. His physical need. If you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Satan tempts us through our physical desires and needs, don't he? Jesus responded with Deuteronomy 8:3, "Man shall not live through bread alone." Because He truly has power and glory was a temptation, wasn't it? Satan offered Him the authority over all the kingdoms of the world. The devil often does that to us today still, don't he? He often tempts us with shortcuts to any successes and power for our lives. But Jesus responded to him with Deuteronomy 6:13, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. And Satan closed up with the temptation of testing God. He quoted Scripture urging Jesus to throw Himself off the temple, didn't he? Satan distorts Scripture to deceive each one of us just like he did back then, don't he? But Jesus responded with Deuteronomy 6:16, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Y'all hear that? Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Because we can truly see the power of God's Word. Jesus overcame each temptation by using Scripture, didn't he? The Word of God is our primary weapon against the enemy. Knowing and applying the Scriptures helps each one of us to resist temptation. But guess what, guys? We can't know or apply those Scriptures unless we get in God's Word. Amen. We can't just fling it side by side and hope it sticks up on the wall somewhere. Amen. So we, like Jesus did, we have to be aware of the Word of God. So when Satan tempts us with something, like he did Jesus, we'll be able to come back against him with Scripture. And our temptation will hold steadfast. Jesus provides a perfect example of how to overcome that temptation, don't he? He relied on the Holy Spirit. He trusted in God's Word. And he remained committed to his mission. As believers, we got to do the same, don't we? By immersing ourselves in Scripture, we got to stay close to God in prayer and resisting every enemy that comes our way. We can stand strong against all of those temptations, can't we? We have to spend time daily in God's Word. We have to pray for strength against those temptations. And we have to rely on the Holy Spirit for guidance. May we follow Christ's example and overcome temptation through the power of God's Word. Lord, help each one of us follow Christ's example in resisting temptation. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Strengthen us with your Word. And keep our hearts devoted to you. So when Satan tries to tempt us, Lord, we'll be able to stand fast against those temptations, Lord. Lord, as they come for the final song, Lord, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your message today on temptation, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to everything you have in that, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to resist the temptation that the devil's going to throw at each one of us, Lord. Lord, may you, anytime that we're tempted in the future, Lord, may you bring us back to this message, Lord. Lord, may you bring us back to the Scripture of Jesus in the wilderness, Lord. Lord, surely if he can survive there and not succumb to the temptation, Lord, for 40 days, Lord, surely we can do it each and every time that Satan tries to get a foothold in us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do, Lord. Lord, we ask you to just let us keep reminding, Lord, during this Lent season, Lord. Lord, for the sacrifice that you give to us, Lord. Lord, we thank you and ask you to put somebody in front of us, Lord, that we can tell about your mercy, your grace, and your love, Jesus. Lord, in your name I pray. And everybody say it. Amen. Amen.